December 1st and are easing into the Christmas season, and got some snow this morning, so it's been a great day so far. My kids are still in the enamored with snow. If you're new with us, we're originally from Texas, coming here by way of Missouri, so it's still exciting to them, and so we're just trying to lean into that. Yes, snow is fun, it's exciting, and we'll see if that lasts all season, but we'll see. But I'm going to go to the Word of God today. We're going to look at a very familiar Christmas passage. If you want to stand with me for the reading of the Word in Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 together. And what a powerful worship service today. I'm thankful that we come in here, and you know, there's time and time again the Bible speaks about worship and being demonstrative, and sometimes it can maybe seem, you know, almost odd to be so expressive, but yet throughout Scripture, we just read, I've been reading through the book of Isaiah, and it speaks of how the trees can do nothing else but sway and worship the Lord, how the depths of the earth rumble His praises, and the knowledge that we are created to worship and praise God. We're created to praise Him, not just on a Sunday, but in every action we do can be praise unto God. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now this is during a census. He had to go to his hometown to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The title of my sermon today will be The Missed Opportunity of Christmas. The Missed Opportunity of Christmas. You can be seated this afternoon. Now, this is a very brief passage in Scripture, and kind of the birth of Jesus, this story. You've probably read it around this time of year, and it moves directly on to other aspects. But I want to just zero in on something today, of not something that is there, but kind of something that is not there that I think is interesting to me, and what didn't transpire. Now, I want us to pause for a moment and just put ourselves in the place of Joseph and Mary. And it's interesting. And it says that this was very nice talking about Mary. It says she was great with child. That's a very good way to say it. In the South, we would say she was big pregnant. I don't know if that's a saying here, but grow up say she was big pregnant. Or for people say she was about to pop. Now, let me just say, don't tell someone that, okay? No matter how they see, I'm just give you just a free piece of advice. Don't tell someone, hey, you look like you're about to pop. You know, I'm just going to rewind a little more. If you do not have verification that someone is pregnant, maybe don't even approach the subject. It's a risky gamble, okay? Just don't do that. Just a word of advice, word of encouragement. But imagine, you know, you are Mary and Joseph in this moment. And don't raise your hand, but just have a question. Have you ever been on a road trip with a pregnant woman, okay? Now, at the outset of my message, let me just tell you that I understand that preaching about pregnant women is a minefield, okay? It's a little dangerous of a topic. My wife is right here in the front row, okay? So I can do a glance over here to get a little check. But just imagine, okay, if you haven't done this, let me give you a little insight. When you drive over a pothole, okay, that is your fault, okay? You did that, right? For a lot of the beginning of our marriage, first 8 or 9 years of our marriage, we had one vehicle, the truck that I still have. And, you know, I love the truck. It's a great truck. But it's not necessarily built just for comfort, okay? So you put a pregnant woman in that truck, and you're driving at the time in the city, the streets of Houston or outlying areas, there's a good chance that you're going to go over some potholes and some not great experiences. But in that moment, you know, logic in your mind might say, you know what, it's not my fault the pothole was there. It's not my fault they can't fix it. But that's just not a good response, okay? Again, this is just not a wise thing. You just need to apologize that the pothole is there. I'm sorry for that pothole. Being facetious, of course. But the truth is, it can be a very uncomfortable experience, and even things that are normal, like driving, can all of a sudden become very burdensome or taxing on a pregnant woman. And so just taking myself through this this story with Mary and Joseph, and you know, it said that the days were accomplished, that so she was right there, and so I would imagine that probably close to this journey, she's probably having some contraction or different things, or it's, you know, it could be any day now, and so that can be create some urgency. And then I also imagine with me that I go into the hotel and I come back out and I say to my very pregnant wife, "Hey, babe, you know the reservation that I said I had secured, that room that I said was ready and it was all good, actually, it doesn't exist. There is no reservation. I'm like, Joe, my guy, I feel bad for you, but you're just striking out here." But this the culmination of this circumstance from this, the very human aspect of it, is it'd be a difficult proposition to go through that. But what I want to speak to today, and it's an imperfect analogy. I want to just address that, because if you really study it, it kind of can maybe ruin your idea of maybe the way we see the inn and everything, because the truth was, it's probably not like a Holiday Inn like you would imagine or what we would assume an inn would be. In this time, it's probably more likely that they, when they think of an inn or places you would stay, you're going to stay maybe with family or extended family, and they'd have like a guest room. That was a more likely circumstance than some of these. But nevertheless, I want to look at something that's very interesting to me, and I think kind of stands out to us, this missed opportunity of Christmas. And I would think propose to you today that there was an incredible opportunity that the innkeeper had that he missed that day. That the innkeeper in this story, the person who turned away Mary and Joseph to whatever extent exactly that would be, missed an incredible opportunity that day. He had a chance to play a part of the birth of Jesus, to be a part of history, to play a significant role in the salvation plan for humanity. But all we see is just a short line, no mention of the person, no name recognition, simply because there was no room for them in the inn. And I would tell us today that in a similar fashion, the season of Christmas presents us with a similar opportunity to invite Jesus into our life, to invite him in to a place that may not seem like a place that would hold a lot of benefit for us. So the reason that I've chosen to make such an emphasis, for example, on the special giving opportunity today is that this is an opportunity to give unto other people in a way that may not benefit me directly, but I can simply say, you know what, I've got an opportunity to bless somebody else, and so I'm going to do that simply because Jesus has provided it for me. Now, the question, why would this innkeeper, why would he turn away Mary and Joseph? And then maybe similarly, why would we even turn away the idea of the meaning of the season? How could we miss the opportunity of Christmas? Well, let's say the first reason, the most evident reason, we know that this was a time of a census, that people were flooding into this area. So a simple explanation could be that the house was just already full. It was just completely full. Maybe the inn was just totally and completely full. Maybe he had already allowed his entire house to be filled to capacity. Maybe he didn't have any room in an effort maybe to maximize profit. He rented out every single space so that when a pregnant woman in need of help comes to him, that he's unable to accommodate because he's just completely full. The inn could have been already at full capacity with no room left for anything else. Have you ever been there? Does that not sound like our life a little bit by default? This is possibly the most seemingly innocent reason to miss the opportunity of what Christmas offers, but it happens to us. We just get so busy. Our life just gets so full, so flooded, that we're not necessarily even intentionally trying to push Jesus out of the equation, but schedules and family and budgets and planning and food and preparations and all of these things can simply just take up so much of our capacity that by default, it pushes the things that really matter out. Now, I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm not anti this season. I love giving gifts. I love the look on my children's faces when they open present. I love less when I see 5 minutes later the presents are by the wayside and they're playing with the boxes because we can just get boxes for free. Maybe that's just me. I've heard that said before. That's anecdotal. But have you ever felt like your life has been pushed to the limit, doing everything you can, that every moment is filled with things? Maybe not bad things, maybe not evil things or sinful things, just so full that you don't find time or have time to actually stop and absorb the things that God desires for you to experience even in this season. Sometimes we can get so caught up in all the things of life that we forget that sometimes it's a still small voice that's knocking, saying, "Will you let me in?" In the book of Hebrews, we see this kind of separation of things. Hebrews 12 and 1, familiar verse. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." But in this writing, the author simply says there are things that are sinful that maybe you and I would understand, but there are also things that maybe they're not inherently sinful, but they can be a weight. And so the dangerous truth today is that if you are not careful, if I am not intentional about what I do in this time of the year, Christmas will become a weight on my spiritual walk with God. I know that may not seem like a very uplifting and exciting Christmas message today, but that's the truth of my existence, is that we are marketed every day. And, you know, think about advertising. It really is kind of crazy if you think about it. Just think about this with me. There are people that sit in boardrooms that spend millions of dollars researching you to figure out what you like so that they can then spend millions more to try to convince you to give them your money. Like, it's kind of crazy when you think about it like that, right? That every advertisement, people are targeting and marketing, but that's the truth. The truth of our existence is that in this time of year, we will fall into this consumer mindset, and it will take up all of our capacity. And so this may seem so innocent and even well-meaning, but the truth is, if you are not intentional, your life will be so full of things that bear no eternal weight that we'll miss out on some of the things that Christmas is really supposed to be about. So let me just encourage you. And again, one of the reasons we do that today, that we chose to do a special appeal for giving to this cause, is maybe just a simple reminder. It's not all about money, but it's a great measurement of, you know what, where is my mindset? And can I, in this season, build in a little room? Maybe it's as simple as building in a little budget to say, you know what, God, I want to make sure that even in my finances, it's reflected that you are still a priority. And again, this money is coming to us and coming through us out to people that we may never meet, but we want to be a blessing to them. So this missed opportunity, and you know, Jesus encountered a man that had a completely filled life and no room for him. We know him as the rich young ruler. It's an interesting story in the book of Mark, chapter 10. We see that there's a man comes running to him, and I'm paraphrasing, and he says, "Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, you know the commandments, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And the young man says, yes, I've done all of these things since I was a child. Yes, I've got all of that. Jesus looks at him and says, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come take up your cross and follow me." And then the Bible says that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" Now, if you think that this story is saying, hey, we all just need to give all of our possessions away and sell everything we have and give it to the poor, if you think that's what needs to come out of this, then I think we're missing the point. For this young man, what Jesus was really saying, it wasn't actually, I don't believe, a finance issue. I think it was a heart issue. Because he was doing all these other things that were good, but Jesus recognized, okay, but there's one thing that you are unwilling to part with. There's one thing that you are putting above serving me. So for you, sell all you have,
Pick up your cross and follow me. I don't even know that Jesus would have necessarily required more of this man. I think really he was wanting to know, are you willing to do whatever it is that I ask of you? It's a heart issue. So today I'm not asking you to sell all your possessions. I'm not asking you to give all your money to the church. This is not a financial conversation, although it's kind of, again, it's a good example and metric. What I'm saying is, in this moment, this Christmas season, there are requests of us, just like that innkeeper maybe opening the door for this pregnant woman and her fiance to say, you know what, I just don't have any more room for you. And what a missed opportunity that was. So I stand here today saying, if you're not careful, your life will be so full that when Jesus presents himself, you may look at him and say, I'm too full. Now you would say, no, of course not. I would never do that. I would definitely invite Jesus in, anything I can do. Well, that leads me to the next reason that maybe he didn't allow them in. Maybe the innkeeper, and this could be very plausible, he did not recognize the opportunity. He didn't know Mary and Joseph. He just saw, pregnant woman. But in this case, he didn't recognize the opportunity for what it was. He didn't know that it was the Messiah. And this is really something that happened over and over and over again. People constantly tried to make Jesus into what they thought he should be versus what he actually was. Right? Even his disciples, the people that are closest to him, over and over again, you can read about it in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. After Jesus rises from the dead, right? They're like, okay, their whole mindset was, okay, you're going to overthrow the current rulers and you're going to restore Israel. This is what it was for. And Jesus says, no, that time, you're not going to know that time. That's not your purpose. Okay. He said, my kingdom is not of this earth. My kingdom is of heaven. You've missed it completely. We see that in Jesus in on trial with Pilate, a similar encounter, John chapter 18, in paraphrasing here, but John 18, 33, Pilate enters and says, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, are you saying this, or did other people tell you that? Pilate answers, do you think I'm a Jew? Your own nation and your priests, they're the ones that brought you. What have you done? Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight and I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. My kingdom is not of this world. Time and time again, and you can read that over and over again. And that's why in one moment we see Jesus coming through and people are worshiping and with him and laying palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then just a few short little time later, they're yelling, crucify him. How is that possible? Because he wasn't who they thought he should be. Why? Because they thought his coming was a lot more about their benefit and doing things for them and serving them than it was serving an eternal purpose. And we are in danger of doing the same thing today. So let me just tell somebody, if you're new with us today, and maybe this is a different setting for you, being in church on a Sunday is a foreign setting to you, then let me just tell you that I hope that you can recognize the opportunity of Christmas, that this is not just a fable. This is not just a beautiful scene that you drive by and see in somebody's front yard today. The reason that Jesus came as a baby was so he could subject himself to everything that a human has to go through and yet live a sinless life. That's the only way that his blood could atone for your sins. So the reason that Christmas exists is so that you can be redeemed even when you make a mistake. So I want to just yell out to somebody to recognize that Jesus has done some incredible things on your behalf and on my behalf so that I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to be bound by my mistakes. That's the opportunity of Christmas. But if you don't recognize it, you'll shut the door of your heart today. So let me just be the person that's standing up here shouting and saying, please open up the door today and recognize that Jesus wants to commune with you. But it may not be about your benefit. It may not be about making your life easier. No, he wants to do something for your eternal soul. But don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity today. The Jews crucified their salvation because he wasn't what they expected. Since he wasn't what they thought he should be, they pushed him away. They wanted to silence him. Maybe the innkeeper that night didn't realize who he was looking at. Maybe he didn't realize that this could be the most important thing he would ever do in his life. Maybe he thought his calling was higher or different. Sometimes we think the plan of God for our life is just something huge and massive that we will do. Something so out of the blue, something so big. But could it be that it's just a small opportunity that you have that could be exactly what God needs you to do and respond to make an eternal difference? But we want to see it through earthly value when God has called us to see things through an eternal value. Don't miss the will of God for your life because it's not wrapped in the way you want it to be when you open the door. I expect to see this. No, sometimes Jesus, when he talked about himself, he said, he described himself as when you've done unto the least of these. People that maybe you wouldn't look and say, okay, this is going to elevate my status. And that leads me to the third reason. Why am I maybe would they have been turned away that night? Well, maybe he saw them as a burden and not a blessing. Maybe he opened that door and saw a pregnant young woman and saw the inconvenience she brought. Maybe that's difficult. Maybe he thought he's got to rearrange his house. Listen, when you have children, okay, your whole world changes, right? Everything about your house changes, everything, right? There's some things that she doesn't want to eat that don't smell and taste good. And guess what? You can't eat that anymore either. Okay? I've heard that. That's just anecdotally. People have told me that. That's not something I've experienced. Right? But you're getting pool noodles and you're baby-proofing your house. Right? You're changing everything. You're trying to get all the stuff ready. You're trying to make sure that everything is ready. Right? All of a sudden, you have thousands of pillows in your bed. You have a pillow that's like 9 feet long. And like, what is this thing? I don't even, you know, whatever. I've heard. Again, these are stories people have told me, you know. But you know what's interesting in our culture? There's a culture emerging here in our nation, and is already here, but it's not just an American thing. But it's really the idea, a culture that really almost rejects the value of children. And you see this so much, and there's even a term for that you've probably seen this, dual income, no kids, right? You've seen this. Now, let me say, I know that there are some people that they cannot have kids, or for them in their life circumstances, they don't have children. So I'm not trying to denigrate those people. What I'm trying to say is overall, there's this interesting shift that's happening in our mindset that see children as a burden more than a blessing. It's unique, and I think it's kind of indicative of what's happening even spiritually in our own nation, in our own life. Okay, well, you may say, well, is having children difficult? Absolutely. It's tough, right? People come to me and about to have their first child, and they'll ask, you know, well, hey, you got any advice? And, you know, one thing I told them, I said, hey, listen, if it's like Saturday afternoon and you want to just go lay down and take a nap, just do it. You don't have kids. If you want to take a nap on a Saturday, you just take that nap and you don't feel bad about it. Why? Because guess what? That's not happening anymore. That world is gone, right? But parents, you could probably write down like a list of all the things and you could give that to someone and they would look at it and say, why would anybody ever want this? Nobody would want this. No sleep? No. And so yes, on paper, if I look at it only from one simple perspective, I could probably say, man, what a burden. But are my children a burden? No, they're one of God's greatest blessings in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. But the truth is, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll look at the Christmas season, we'll look at Jesus in the same way, because our culture likes to say, oh, well, being a Christian is such a burden. Being a Christian, there's all these things you can't do. And well, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to give up this and give up that, all these things. No, what I'm trying to tell you is, yes, there are some sacrifices that I make, but what I get in return is so amazing. Is it difficult having children? Yes, but what I get is so incredible. The same way, living for God is the best decision that I have ever made. It is a trade that I would take every single day. Why? Because my soul is secure. So let me just tell somebody today, you need to look at Christmas maybe a little bit differently and say, you know what? There are some things. It may feel like a burden right now in this moment, but if I could just open my eyes and understand that there's a blessing behind that sacrifice, there's a blessing behind those efforts. There's some things you're doing, just like you're raising your children, mom, dad, getting them up on a Sunday morning. It's not easy. I know it can be difficult to get to the house of God, but trust me, you are sowing into them. There are things you are putting into their life that is going to have eternal reward for you. And that's what we need to understand about Christmas. There's an opportunity to say, God, I'm going to sow into eternity. I may sacrifice now. It may be uncomfortable, but what I'm receiving is so much better than what I'm giving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But if we're not careful, the things of God, actually living a relationship with God, we will perceive it as a burden, not a blessing. Just like children. There are times when it may feel like more burden than blessing. We have 7, 4, and almost 10-month-old. And sometimes, man, it's difficult. And we got to sit down. And guess what my wife and I have to do? Sometimes we have to sit down. And we have to talk about it. And we have to recalibrate. Can I just be honest? Sometimes you have to sit down and you have to talk to yourself and say, hey, this is the reality of what I'm going through right now. Because there are days that can be difficult. But if I measure my family on a snapshot of a day, I miss out on the beautiful arc of my story of my life. And the same thing, guess what? You're going to have days. I'm sure if Mary and Joseph would have taken a snapshot before Jesus was born, settled at the inn, they would have said this. If you look at this little picture right here, this is awful and terrible and not what we planned and not what we wanted. But something within them, they had enough faith. They had enough belief to say, you know what? This may not be exactly the way I thought it was going to be, but I'm not going to miss the opportunity to do what God has called me to do. So there are times, yes, when things don't maybe seem like it's working out the way it may look. And I know maybe this Christmas season may be a little bit different for you because of financial loss, maybe loss of relationships. And I understand, but in the midst of all of that, I just want to tell you and encourage somebody today, there is an opportunity for you to experience Jesus in a real and a personal and an immeasurable way to say, God, this may not be what I thought was going to happen, but I'm not going to shut myself off. I'm not going to close the door and refuse to allow you to move in my spirit because Jesus wants to commune with you. Jesus is at the door. But if you see him as a burden and not a blessing, you'll reject him and turn him away. I want to encourage you with that today. Sometimes the danger is that Christ is offering us something that if we look at it through the eyes of consumerism, if we look at it through the eyes of our flesh, if we look at Jesus through the eyes of what benefits us in the here and now, we may miss what he's doing entirely. We may reject him because we see a burden and not a blessing. But what you need to understand is that with Christ, blessings come. With Christ, blessings come. If you read Matthew chapter 2, when you see the wise men, they come in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And again, the Bible doesn't indicate this, but it would be very customary in this time that if you were to visit someone or visit something, you could, if you're bringing them something, but it'd be also very common for them to bring a gift for the house, for the person who's the house, it was their home. It would be a very normal thing for that to happen. So what's amazing about this is what we see is that yes, it would be very common if someone was coming to visit even Jesus in this moment, that they would also bring someone of that house. They would bring a blessing upon that house. And again, the scripture doesn't indicate this specifically, but I understand this to be a true thing of that time, is that you understand that blessings come along with him. And I'm not just talking about financial blessings. We don't give so that we can say, oh, well, you know, God's just going to give me more money than I gave. No, this is not a prosperity gospel, but there's a prosperity principle that when I sow into things, I can reap things that I didn't sow, right? There's things that I can benefit from and reap. There are harvests that I can reap that I never sowed into. There's things that if I just say yes to this, God can open up doors I could never understand or experience. That innkeeper, when he opened that door, he didn't recognize. He may have been too full. He may have not recognized it, or he may have seen a burden. But if he would have just been able to open his eyes enough to allow what was happening to come into his life and his heart, I truly believe there'd be even more story. There may be even more blessings that we would see. And in your life, I'm telling you today that Christ wants to come and commune with you. Jesus wants to be a part of this season of your life. And if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if that's never been something you've experienced, that's here for you today. That is your next step with Jesus. If he is knocking at the door, he will never force his way into your life. But I promise you, there is an opportunity today. I'm the one standing here trying to say, you need to recognize the opportunity. And the opportunity is this. It doesn't matter what you have to offer Jesus. All you have to be is willing, and he will provide the rest for you. The only thing Jesus requires is a willing spirit, a willing vessel, a willing soul to say, yes, Lord, whatever you have for me, I will do it. I know I mentioned the story of the rich young ruler, that Jesus was really giving him a heart issue, a heart check. But if you look at all these, most of the people that followed Jesus, he didn't promise them riches and glory. He didn't promise them all these great things. No, in fact, he said, you're probably not going to have a place to sleep. You're probably going to be a nomad. You're probably going to go from here and there. He called people to walk away from their career just to follow him. Why? Because he said, what I give you in return is so much greater than any benefit on this life and on this earth. That's why you see people following after him, forsaking all kinds of things and going down a path that would maybe lead to them being martyred for the cause of Christ. People that things that we would say, well, this has no benefit, and yet they did it. Why? Because they understood it was an amazing trade-off. It was a beautiful trade-off. And so we need to understand today, there's an opportunity presented by Christmas, presented by what Christ did for us. But it's up to us to seize that opportunity and not to miss it. But if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in the things that look great but serve no eternal value, and we will miss Christmas altogether. Will you stand with me today? I want to appeal to a couple of groups of people, if I can say it that way. If you're a guest here today, I've made several mentions, people that maybe church is new for you, and I say that simply because the incredible thing is I think pretty much every single Sunday we have either a first or a second time guest. And so it's just something that I understand we need to weave into our conversation that, you know what, there may be people here that this is, a lot of this is new. A lot of this is maybe a little bit foreign. And so, again, I just want to tell you that the opportunity of Christmas is that you can have a new life through Jesus Christ. The reason he came, you know, one of the reasons that he came as a baby and went through everything he went through? Because if you're here today, and maybe your story is, well, man, I'm kind of an outcast. I've kind of been rejected a lot in my life. I've kind of gone through some stuff. I've experienced some things. I've been low lows. I've been, you know, through a lot of things. Well, guess what? Jesus came as a baby, was born in a manger, lived as a nomad, didn't have a lot of stuff in this life, suffered in many ways, was tempted, struggled, poured himself out in prayer, prayed till he cried, till he bled, suffered, was beaten. Jesus went through so much of that so that he could look at you in your life and say, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I've suffered the way you've suffered. You've lost someone, the Lord has felt that. You struggle in your life, the Lord has felt that. You're looking at this season and you're thinking, I don't know how the finances are going to work. You need to have that trust. There's an opportunity for God to move. This season is a little bit different for you because of the loss of a loved one and there's empty seats at the table. The Lord is acquainted with your grief. He's well acquainted with your sorrow. But he's taken our pain on himself. So this Christmas season, simple comparison to this innkeeper. It's not a perfect analogy, but again, do we not miss out on some things because maybe we're just too full? Maybe our life is just too full. Maybe you don't recognize it. I want to tell you today is the day that you can take your next step in Jesus. You can be baptized in Jesus' name, have all of your sins washed away. We have a baptism team right down here at the front. They have blue lanyards on. They would love to talk to you about baptism. We have clothes and towels, and all you have to do is be willing. You don't have to bring anything special to be loved by God or known by God. I know we had an offering appeal today, but if you don't give in the offering, that's not the point and the purpose. That's a method and a vehicle of blessing, but that's not the end all be all, because Jesus is here not just for monetary things. He's here for your soul. He's here for something deeper. But to us, the challenge is this. Jesus will present himself in a way as the least of these. So we give to plant churches, but we're also, this season, we're going to give to our community, to people that are less fortunate. And you may not know this, but throughout this entire year, this church, we assist and help people that find themselves in difficult circumstances, difficult times. Obviously, we don't advertise that a lot. Number one, because people wouldn't want other people to know. And number two, it's not about our glory, or it's not about us looking good. I'm just presenting that to you to know this is a big part of who we are. Is saying, Lord, you've placed us here in Sterling Heights to bless this city, to bless these people,
to bless this church. But if I'm looking for my own glory, if I'm looking for Jesus to look a certain way, there's a good chance I'll miss him. Because sometimes he comes in a lowly way and says, can you feed me? Sometimes he comes in a small way and says, can you clothe me? Sometimes he comes in a way that says, I've been abused and I don't know where to turn. Sometimes he comes in a way that says, I've gone through some difficult things and I don't feel like the church could handle this. But we're here for that. That's the opportunity of Christmas. That he came as a baby. He went through this life and suffered as you and I have suffered. He died a painful death, but he rose again so that you can rise above your mistakes. You can rise above the things that have happened to you. You can rise above all the sin in your life. You can rise above the abuse that you have suffered at the hands of other people. Whatever the case may be, don't miss the opportunity presented by Jesus today. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to pray. But again, I want to appeal to those people. Maybe you haven't recognized before. I'm encouraging you, recognize Jesus. He's here today. Our culture would love to say that church is irrelevant, that Jesus is irrelevant, Christianity is irrelevant. No. No, he's the answer. He's the foundation I've built my life upon. He's the answer for the sin in our lives, the sin in our culture. So I'll encourage you today, if you've never been baptized, let today be your day. Don't miss the opportunity of Christmas. Accept that Jesus died for you, rose again, that you can rise above. And if our church has been walking with the Lord, I want to encourage you, don't get so full in your life that you don't leave room for God. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's, you know what, I need to budget a little bit to give to a church planner I'll never meet. Maybe that's the commitment you need to make. Maybe it's, you know what, I need to take some time to check out my neighbors, see how they're doing, see if I can bless them, see if I can do something for them. Not get so consumed with my own routine that I miss out on those little opportunities where Jesus is presenting himself and says, help me. Let's not be so full. And then finally, living for God is not a burden. It's a blessing. But if I feel more burden than blessing, maybe it's a shift of my priorities that I need to say, Lord, am I being too self-consumed? Am I being too consumed with my own mind, my own thoughts? Because if living for God feels like a burden, there's something I'm missing, because God has life abundantly for us. God has a blessed life for us. So right now, if the word of God has spoken to you today in some way, I want to encourage you. Would you just come and find a place to pray? Or maybe you want to kneel at your seat, whatever you're comfortable with. But I want to just encourage you to respond to the word of God today and say, Lord, I don't want to miss the opportunity of Christmas, because culture would just say it's about giving gifts and it's about all these good things, and those things are true, but really this season is about him and about understanding that even in small ways we have an opportunity to connect with Jesus. Oh yes, that's great. Church, can we just come and pray? Can we just recommit ourselves? Lord, I don't want to miss the opportunity of this season. I want to see you and working in all the different ways you present yourself. Whatever I can do, Lord, I want to be willing to say, God, I give you all of myself. Anything you would require of me, Lord, I want to be willing and say yes, God. I don't want to miss the opportunity. Like this innkeeper, I don't want to shut you out, Lord. I want to allow you to come into my life, come into my spirit. Again, I want to appeal one more time. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, let today be your day. Let today be the day you take that next step in salvation and being washed of your sins, because that's here for you today. Oh, can we just pray? Thank you, Lord. We worship you in this place. Can we take some time and pray and consecrate ourselves to what Christmas is all about and not miss the meaning, not miss the opportunity of Christmas? Oh, let's pray, church. Let's pray, church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Withholding nothing. My God, withholding nothing. Whoa, withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, I surrender, say, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, to you. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Holding nothing.
Somebody make that your prayer this morning. I give you all of me. Come on, that's it. I feel it breaking. I give it all. I give it all. Yes. I give you all of me. Sing King Jesus. Hey.
King Jesus.
Oh, come on, lift those hands right there. Oh, Lord, I surrender. Somebody's right on the edge of what God wants to do. Come on, jump in. Say, King Jesus, hey.
King Jesus,
my Savior. Come on, he's breaking some stuff up.